And one of the ways in which they're trying to get your mind and obtain your soul is through music, media, and entertainment. So this morning, we're gonna ask the Holy Spirit to be with us in prayer. But before we do that, just so we get an overview of what this is going to be about, we're gonna talk about three different things. During divine service, 11 o'clock service, we're gonna talk about the battle for our soul. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. The battle for our soul. And then in the afternoon, we're gonna talk about in spirit and in truth at 1:30. And then for our third session, we're gonna talk about music in the last days. So we're gonna look at these three different points. We invite you to come back. A lot of time the food makes us sleepy and we don't want to come back. But we need to, it's the Sabbath day. Is there somewhere else that's more important to be in than God's house? Amen. Well, if there is, let me know so I can join you. So if not, come back, please. We love to have you here worshiping with us until the sun sets. The young people oftentimes are disappointed because they see the pews are emptier in the afternoon. But we don't want to be those kind of Adventists, right? We want to be the Adventists that serve Jesus full time. So let's go ahead and begin. Let's bow our heads. Dear, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because I'm not worthy and we're not worthy to stand in your presence. We know that eventually we will have to see you face to face in all your glory. We ask for the spirit of reverence in this house this morning.
Yes, Lord.
We ask for the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts and our minds that we can have a closer walk with Jesus. Lord, we don't want to leave the same way. We want to have such a closer walk like Enoch had. We want to have exposure of the forces of darkness that they will have no power over us. Help us, Father. We need you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Bible says, have no what?
Fellowship
with what? The unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Anybody know what that says in a different version? That word underlined? In the New King James, that word is expose. So we need to rebuke, expose, and to make known the works of darkness. Because if we really understand what Satan is trying to do, we unmask the candy coat he has around all this entertainment, all of these things that easily besets us. Many times young people fall trapped to the entertainment industry. But not only the young people, sometimes the adults, we fall trapped to the soap operas and intemperance with the news networks. And all of these different things are capturing our attention when Jesus Christ should have our full attention, especially in the end times. And so we're going to look at something really important. There are a lot of distractions in our society. And so I wanted to tell you, anybody know that Ellen White had a vision in which she saw Satan giving instructions to his demons? Ellen White one time was in a vision, and she was shown a special meeting between the devil and the fallen angels. All of the demons were gathered together. And they had a very, very important meeting. At this meeting, there was different things that they were talking about. But one of the most important things that they were talking about was instructions on what to do to overcome so that they can be victorious over Jesus and over his people. It's very interesting, don't you think? So the same way that we're here gathered together to worship God, the true creator of heaven and earth, the false God and the fallen angel, Lucifer, had a meeting. You can read more about this in the book, Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers. In page 474, Satan gives instructions to his fallen angels, and this is what he says. They will separate from Christ. They will have no strength to resist our power. So Satan thinks that his attractions, his idols, and his methods are so powerful that that human beings will have no power to resist them. But I tell you this morning, there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And through that blood, we can have victory over all of this. Because we don't really need it. We're going to look a little bit further into three different points in this first section of our first meeting. What are Satan's intentions in secular music? What mediums does he use in carrying out his intentions? And what things should we put in our mind? So part one, we're going to look at the intentions of Satan. What are his intentions in secular music? We read in our scripture reading, for the flesh lusts against what?
The spirit.
The spirit. The spirit against the flesh. Are these two friends?
No.
No, they're not, right? What are they?
Contrary.
They're contrary. They're at war, they're at odds, they're opposite. They're not friends. They're like water and oil, they just do not mix. And the devil wants us to think that they do mix. But, and these things are contrary one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. So, if we are in the wrong side of this, we are involved a lot with the flesh, we will not be able to do the things that we would under the power of Christ. But if we are involved with the Spirit, we will not be able to do the things that we would do under the power of Satan. But the Satanic Bible, anybody knew that there was a Satanic Bible? The Satanic Bible, page 50. I don't recommend to read this. I do recommend this book. Amen? This is where the power is. That book is just, it's a waste of money and time. But I did get it free online, and I wanted to investigate what they're teaching, you know, Church of Satan, the Satanic Bible. What's this about? What does Satan have to say? Well, this is what Satan said. This is what Satan believes about religion. If you do not believe what your religion teaches, why continue to support a belief which is contradictory with your flesh? Does this make a connection? If your religion doesn't hypen up your emotions and your flesh, why do you continue following that religion? If it's not pleasing you. The devil says again, he speaks again in Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers, and when Ellen White's vision, he says the following: present the world to them in its most attractive light. Have you ever noticed that in Hollywood, in Las Vegas, they always try to make it look so attractive? They have all the lights, all the glamour, all the lasers and the smoke. But when you go backstage, what's behind the backstage? There's broken homes. Broken dreams, there's suicide, there's drug addiction, there's sexual immorality, there's a whole list of different pains and suffering that we don't see, because all they want you to see is the candy coat, is the attractive life, because backstage is where the real life takes place. I had a friend that works for Warner Brothers. He's a production assistant. His name is Carlos Castillon, and he appears in a lot of the credits of these movies. He was my best friend in high school. So we were both in the world in high school, but when I came to Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, I came to Jesus.
Amen.
He went on to pursue a life in film. And when he did that, he started off as an assistant, and then a janitor assistant, and then a janitor, and then he became the assistant of that guy. And now he's the producer assistant. So he's almost there at the top. You know, he's writing screenplays and all these things. The interesting thing about my friend is that he told me, he said, you know what, Juan? I met with him one time.
Take that down.
It doesn't matter. I met with him one time.
Take it down.
And
it's wrong.
Basically, we had a meeting, and I told him, brother, I need to know what it's like in Hollywood. What is life like in Hollywood? And he said, basically, life in Hollywood is not all that great. Everybody is addicted to drugs. Everybody is having real problems with different addictions and things like that. But the Bible says in Matthew 7:16, by their fruits you shall know them. We're going to take a close look. At what it is to be involved in the world. The Bible, this is what the Bible tells us to do. It tells us to expose darkness, doesn't it? So this is something that we need to do. So let's go ahead and look at what the secular people are teaching our children. We need to be guarding our children and our homes from these different lies and deceptions. This famous artist, Beyonce, says, "I can't really go to church anymore, which is a shame because people have come up to me in church during the sermon. And of course, people watch everything I do, so they're watching her instead of Jesus. They come up and take pictures on their mobile phones. They are very nice, but I think God understands if I'm in service. Have mercy." Jimi Hendrix, a famous musician, in the 60s, "Music doesn't lie. If there's something to be changed in this world, then it can only happen through what?" He believes that music has a power. It's true, music does have a power. The wrong music will have the wrong power. We want them to realize that our music is just as spiritual as going to church. Same thing we saw earlier, that the satanic church believes that there is a spiritual power. 50 Cent believes, "I'm so sick of the world, that was why I want to die." The Beatles, famous group, a lot of my close friends, Adventists, still listen to the Beatles. They say, "We're more popular than Jesus." And yet now they're available on iTunes. I think someone said a long time ago and said, let's figure out a way to control people. That's why they came up with the Bible. Very influential artists. Millions and millions of copies of their music being sold, even today. This basically is the lyrics of suicide. This is blasphemy. Love for them that steal in the name of the Lord. I don't want to start blasphemous rumors, but there's some of these lyrics in these musics that it's almost very difficult to even read. In this grunge band, Linkin Park, they believe that mixing the different worldly music is the thing to do today. It's actually what's happening. We have like different music, like Spanish music mixing with rock music, mixing with reggae music. We have all sorts of music mixing up. So all the different musics of the world, like hip-hop and rock, are now combining, and you get groups like this that make up these different lyrics. "I'm so tired of what you want me to be." You know, when I first started investigating the different dangers of this rock music and all these different things, I started realizing that a lot of these lyrics are evil spirits speaking through these artists, because a lot of these artists sell their soul to the devil in order to get famous. This is a deal that many of them have to do. And in one of their songs, I started putting it in the context of their relationship with God. Most of these people do not have a good relationship with God. But in this, let's just picture that this artist is talking to Jesus, and let's put it in a different frame of view. If this artist was talking to Jesus, "I'm tired of being what you want me to be. Feeling so faithless, lost under the surface. Put it under the pressure of walking in your shoes. Every step I take is another mistake to you. I've become so numb, I can't feel you there." What is the purpose of Satan in this music? The purpose of Satan is to grieve the Holy Spirit. Even though the Bible tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Why is it important that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Because it's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to do what in the end times? It's going to seal us. Anybody here want to have the seal of God? Amen, that's important, right? We need to have the seal of God. We need to be settled into the truth. It's the symbolic representation in the Bible of the seal of God is the Sabbath. Ezekiel chapter 20, we can look at that. But what is Satan trying to do with his music? A lot of people say, well, maybe if I get rich, if I get into the world, then I'll be happy in the world. But a lot of these people really are not that happy. There's this one artist, it's a rock artist, his name is Bon Jovi, and he came out with this song saying, "It's My Life." And in this song, he says, "I want to do whatever I want to do," and this is what he said. He says, "It's my life, it's now or never. I'm not going to live forever, I just want to live while I'm alive. It's my life." This is the mentality even young people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You know how I know that? It's because that's how I was. And that's where I came from. But I'm telling you, young people, if we don't come out of that today, we may not be able to get out of that later. We need to come out today. We need to stop telling Jesus later. And we need to have Jesus in our hearts today. We have to stop putting him on layaway. We need to start saying, God, you know what? I need your help today. These artists are not even living that long. This is the age of death for most of these artists. And a lot of them is drug overdose, DUI, and all sorts of major problems. And these are who our young people look up to today. Who are, a lot of our society says, man, these people are respectable people, but they're living lives of immorality. X Ministries used to be a hip hop group. They used to sing rap songs and things like that. And then they started reading the Bibles almost. So they did something interesting, same thing that happened to Ivor Myers. They started doing rap songs from the Bible. They still did their rap music, but they were doing Bible rap music. I don't know if you understand that. But they were trying to do that, and they were sincere. And then they started praying and studying the Bible. And then you know what God showed them? That the things of the world do not mix with the things of God. And that's important to know, isn't it? This is what they wrote in their website, xministries.com. They wrote, youth with no respect for authority, youth with no parental guidance, youth with no regards for their bodies, appearance, self-respect, or futures. Hip-hop drives every aspect of our youth's lives in most cases. They live it, breathe it, wear it, and die for it. Have you ever seen anything like this before? Hip-hop has done what no other tool of the devil has been able to do at this level. It has influenced all races, all areas, and all low-income areas in America. Now this group is no longer singing Christian rap. Now they're singing Christian music. Not worldly Christian music, but Christian. We're going to talk more about that. In our afternoon meetings, we're going to talk more about worship and what God expects of His remnant church in the last days in worship. But what about rock and roll? Rock music came into its own as accepted in the genre with the music of Elvis. Rock and roll was actually an inappropriate term. If you're old enough to remember that, that's what rock and roll means. Jazz means something that's very inappropriate. The word jazz and Christian do not go together. The word rock and roll and Christian do not go together. But rock in the secular world has a strong influence. But what is the mediums of Satan? Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. Let me know if you need me to censor any images. I can block any images you need me to from here. And I know this material can be very strong. But let's go to 2 Timothy, verse 3. Did you guys bring your Bibles today?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Verses 1 through 5, I'm sorry. This know also that in the middle days, perilous times shall come.
The last days.
Which days?
The last days.
Which days are we living in now? So let's reread this one more time. This know also that in today's times, perilous times shall come. That's today. And is it true that the Bible is accurate?
Yes.
Look at verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is that true?
Yes.
What does that mean? Men lovers of their own selves? It means two things. Well, the first one means selfishness, right? Lovers of themselves. I'm pretty sure you can guess what the second one means. Men in love with men, women with whom. That's what it means. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. This is blasphemy. All of these different artists have no shame anymore. And the United States government has no longer have strict guidelines. Back in the 50s and the 60s and the 40s, they used to have protests against these daring artists who would do these inappropriate things on music and on television. But now anything goes. Now there's no restraint. Look what it says in verse 2, disobedient to parents. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Unthankful. Unholy, without natural affection, the same thing we saw earlier. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Incontinent means uncontrollable. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of what?
Pleasure.
This is what we're dealing with today. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Do we love to walk in the flesh more, or do we want to walk in the Spirit? It is only possible through Jesus Christ to walk in the Spirit. Verse 5, having a form of godliness with an end power thereof, from such turn away. You know that the Satanic Bible also talks about television and the influence that television has in America? Check this out. Today we have television dictating what?
Actions.
What else? Attitudes and objectives. Do you agree or disagree? This is actually true. I mean, I'm reading this from the wrong book, but it's true. Because Satan has a lot of knowledge. He knows where he's going, though. That's why what he's trying to do is get God's people. If it were possible, he would deceive even the very elect. So this is one of the avenues that Satan is using. There are television sets in every home. Let me just pause right here. They did a study in the United States about how many television sets there are in the whole country. How many homes have at least one television set? They also did a similar study of how many toilets there are. It's interesting. You know how much percentage televisions there are in the United States in every home? 99% of the United States homes have televisions. But guess how many toilets there are in the United States? 97%. Interesting, isn't it? Well, you know what that means? That there's more trash going in than going out. It's true. There are television sets in every home. Devil knows what he's talking about. Every restaurant, every hotel room, every shopping mall. Now they're even small enough to carry in your pocket, like electronic groceries. It is an unquestioned part. I'm just quoting. I didn't make this up. Kneeling before the cathode ray God with our TV guide concordance in hand, we maintain the illusion of choice by flipping channels, chapters, and verses. It doesn't matter what is flashing on the screen. All that matters to the church of Satan is that what? The TV. Does this sound like your home? I hope not. Yeah, that used to sound like my home. But now I have remnant DVDs, as my brother Ron likes to say. Remnant DVDs. We watch holy, holy movies for God, preparing us for the end times. Three Angels movies and things like that. Amen? We don't need to be entertained. We need to be trained and prepared for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. This is what we need to be doing. That should be our focus, not entertainment. But for those who plead for entertainment, they're like, oh, Juan, don't take all my entertainment, please. For those that plead for these diversions, this is what we answer. We cannot indulge in them in the name of who?
Jesus.
We cannot indulge in them. This is what the inspired pen writes. The blessing of God will not be invoked upon the hours spent at the theater or in the... It's hard to read in that color. But what about an hour in prayer? Amen? Is that a blessing? A lot of times we don't even spend 20 minutes in prayer in one day. But we can spend 3 hours in front of the TV and the computer, right? But for God, well, if I have time, I'll give God some time. But no Christian would wish to be to death in such a place. Isn't that true? Like, let's say you go to the movie. Oh, it's just the Passion of the Christ or something, right? You get some popcorn and soda. Mercy. But let's say you go to the theater, right? You're watching some movie, PG, rated PG or something. But let's say Jesus comes like, right at that moment. Do you want to be at that place at that moment? Where would you rather be when Jesus comes? Here, no? You'd rather be here. You'd rather be in prayer in your closet. Matthew chapter 6. Go into that closet and pray to your Father which sees you in secret. And he that prays to God in secret shall reward him openly. So don't go into the world. Don't go into the theaters. Don't go into the club. Because you don't want to be found there when Jesus shall come. The Bible tells us in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, a lot of times for young people, this is not easy to do. This takes a lot of prayer. But if you pray that prayer, God, I want to be free from this stuff. I don't want to be entertained with this Nickelodeon. or this Cartoon Network. I don't want to be entertained anymore with these soap operas or these adult comedies. I want to be trained by Jesus. If that's your wish, just pray the prayer, say, God, help me not to set any wicked thing before my eyes. My mother, when I was small, she used to say, Juan, you know, it's a problem, you're watching too much TV. And I said, no, mom, it's okay, you know, it's just a little cartoon. Even though they're blowing each other's heads off, it's just a cartoon, mom. No, Juancito, it's not just TV. It's the eye of the devil. And I used to be like, okay, mom, chill out. But you know what? That's true. Because even though we think we're watching what the world is doing, the devil is the one that's watching us. And he's the one that has access into your home if you let evil come into the avenues of the soul through your eyes, through your ears, through surround sound and all that different stuff that Hollywood wants you to get into. HD TV and Blu-ray television and 3D television and this and that and BIOS and all these different distractions when Jesus is on the brink of the edge of eternity. We are about to see and break through the clouds. All the different events in the world today are showing us that our Savior is just about to come. But he's delaying so that we can be ready. You know, our God loves us so much that he's holding back the four winds of strife so that we can be in heaven. He's holding back, you know, there can be, the destructions in the world are pretty bad. The only reason it's not a big deal to us is because it hasn't hit us. But it's pretty bad. You don't want to be in Japan right now. You don't want to be in these different cities, in Haiti and all these different places. You know, Hurricane Katrina and New Orleans is still suffering. And that happened in 2005. They're still feeling the impact of what happened there. So we need to be ready. Because even though probation will close for the Adventist Church during the Sunday law and all these different things, we cannot wait till then. Because if we wait for the Sunday law, it will be too late. The close of probation could take place. If we fall outside and fall off the sidewalk and hit our head by accident somewhere and get into a coma, that's the close of probation for us. We need to be ready, amen? Keep that heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The once earnest Christian, we need to be earnest Christian, honest Christian, who takes part in worldly amusements. Anybody ever heard of amusement parks? Any Christian that takes in worldly amusements is on dangerous ground. He has left the region pervaded by the vital atmosphere of heaven. Heaven's protection is broken. You know, there's certain places that angels cannot go with you. So we better be watching where we're going. And has plunged into an atmosphere of mist and fog. Anybody here ever try to drive in the middle of thick fog? Early in the morning? It's pretty dangerous, isn't it? Why is it dangerous to drive in that thick fog? Because you can't see where you're going. But when you were Jesus, you know exactly where you're going, and that's the pearly gates of the heavenly Canaan. But when we have, in many cases, pleasure parties and gatherings for amusement are a reproach to the religion of Christ, so after telling us what we shouldn't do, what should we put in our minds, Juan? The Bible is very clear, whatsoever things are, we should do what with those things? We should think on those things. All those things that are pure, all those things that are lovely, all those things that are a good report, all those things that elevate the name, the beautiful, wonderful name of our Savior Jesus, are worthy of our attention. Anything else is a waste of time. Because we're out of time, brothers and sisters. Time is almost finished. The 1 John chapter 2 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. When Eve took of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, she was in rebellion. The Bible says in the Old Testament that the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And we need to be ready for Jesus coming. We cannot be involved with witchcraft. We cannot be involved in rebellion. We need to, instead of rebelling against our parents, rebelling against God, we need to run to Jesus. We need to flee, and we need to we need to resist the devil. And he's gonna be the one that's gonna flee. We don't have to go anywhere. Because God is gonna put a hedge about us, and the devil is gonna be the one that has to exit and leave this place. Because Jesus is the king of our hearts. But the book, First Testimonies, Volume 1, Satan, this is the problem with entertainment. You see, a lot of times when young people we deal with this, older people we deal with entertainment, this is what it's really doing to us. Satan is leading the young captive. I saw that Satan had blinded the minds of the youth so much that they could not even comprehend what? The truths of God's word. When we're bombarded with all this entertainment, with all these different things and the internet and all these different things, when it's time to study this book, what is it like after doing all of that? It's boring. It's almost like a storybook, fiction. And we spend hours giving our time to useless things when there is a work of soul saving to be done, brothers and sisters. We need to focus on the task at hand. Jesus is about to come, but Jesus is not only interested in having all these requirements of us. You know that Jesus Christ is interested in your happiness? Jesus is interested in you being so happy on this earth that it'll be a little piece of heaven on earth. You know that the Ten Commandments for Seventh-day Adventists, especially the second generation Seventh-day Adventists, I totally sympathize with you. A lot of times the Ten Commandments for us, it seems like 10 do's and don'ts. 10 do nots, right? Doesn't it seem like that? Oh, you Adventists, you can't do anything. You can't party, you can't drink, you can't do this, you can't do that. But you know what the Ten Commandments really are? That's not what they are. That's what the devil wants you to think they are. You know what the Ten Commandments are? The Ten Commandments are 10 characteristics of the beautiful character of Jesus. And not only that, not only are they a transcript of the character of Jesus, the Ten Commandments are 10 promises. Imagine if everybody kept the Ten Commandments. Just imagine that. What would the world be like? Say it again. Perfect. Would it be a beautiful world to live in if everybody kept the Ten Commandments? I want to live in a world like that. I don't have to worry about locking my door in my car, right? I can marry my wife. Nobody's gonna steal her from me, right? I don't have to worship any other gods because my Creator God gives me everything that I need. Amen? We can all worship, go to church on Saturday. There's no Sunday churches. Amen? So it's powerful to be with Jesus. So basically, but the problem with entertainment is that their sensibilities become so blunted that we can't even understand what the apostles, what the disciples, what the prophets are writing in the Bible. We lose sight of what's important. So the Bible does clarify. So we don't have this war between the flesh and the spirit. The Bible tells us, this I say then, do what? Walk in the spirit. If you have two dogs, one dog is named flesh, the other dog's name is spirit. We have a little puppy here today. Are they still around? Very cute. We have two dogs, right? One dog's name is, what is it? Flesh. The other dog's name is spirit. How many of you guys want to have spirit in your house? Well, they're both cute dogs, but how do you make one stronger and how do you make one weaker? The one you feed the most is the one that's going to get stronger. You take him on walks and you treat him good. You comb his little hair and all that stuff. That's the dog that's going to get strong. You feed him, right? Let's say we feed flesh. Just feed him a bunch of food. But spirit, we don't really feed him that much. What's going to happen to spirit? Flesh is going to kill spirit. But if we feed the spirit and we listen to scripture songs and we hang out at the Southwest Conference and we hang out with the godly people and we spend, the most important thing, other than those things are good, spending time at the feet of Jesus Christ. Spending time in prayer. Spending time in the Word. Spending time sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Spending time, it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, Jesus will use you in any way he wants to. If you have a lot of blessings of age, God can still use you mightily. You can have a telephone ministry. You can have a prayer ministry. You can have so many different things. Never lose the fire of God. Never get comfortable. We're pilgrims, and we're coming home soon. We need to get ready for Jesus coming. So we feed spirit. We got to feed spirit. We got to feed spirit. He's going to get strong, and he's going to defeat, because we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh, the Bible says in Jeremiah 32. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for God? The verse 17 tells us, behold, there is nothing too hard for God. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go ahead and bow our heads. We invite you to come back for our second study in spirit and in truth. We're going to look at a deep subject about what the devil is trying to do in God's end time church. And we're going to go ahead and bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we ask that you help us to feed the spirit, and that we would starve the flesh. Father, we are tired of giving the flesh the advantage. We want to give the spirit the advantage. We want to give the Holy Spirit a chance to seal us and to help us to be prepared for the soon coming of our Savior and our best friend, Jesus. Father, we don't want to be caught under the rocks. But Father, we want to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to be found not wanting, but Father, we want to be the ones who will be able to stand when the four winds are released. Father, help Trinity Seventh-day Adventist Church to be a church faithful to the spirit of prophecy, to the Bible, to the law, and to the testimony, that we may keep the commandments of God and have the faith not only in Jesus, but the same faith of Jesus. Father, help us. We need you. We know that you're coming soon. Help it to be real in our mind, that we may not play any more games with you, but that we would give up anything for you, because you gave everything for us. We thank you for blessing us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's deviate from the program a moment and change our closing hymn. We'll go back to the hymn we started with this morning, page